92.3 and AM 1620. I know at this time of day you're normally expecting us to argue about, you know, what's the best Pop-Tart or what's the appropriate way to put silverware in the dishwasher. We argue about frivolous things. We decided instead that we'd take a minute and talk with somebody we all grew up watching, idolizing, imitating, if you're a guy and you ever imagine wearing purple shorts and green body paint all over your chest. I'm not saying I did, but I mean, no. What, Reese? What?
Why do you have to be a guy to imitate?
Just move on here. Let's just move on.
Yeah.
Lou Ferrigno is in the studio with us. Hello.
Good morning.
Welcome back. We had you here 2 years ago.
You have the loudest voice I've ever heard on a DJ.
Aw, thank you.
It's so boomy. It's so wonderful. You just woke me up. It's wonderful. How are you doing today?
Wait, I thought it was a compliment at first. No, I'm not so sure.
Nah, it's good.
My wife is always, shh. Just a little bit lower. Just a little bit lower.
What about your neighbors?
We don't talk to them. So, all right. So you're here for Pensacon again. Obviously, you had an excellent enough time the first time that you decided to come back. And we're great to have you. Welcome back to Pensacola.
Thank you. It's great because I know that they had the hurricane about a year ago and they canceled the show. But, you know, interesting, this weekend they're going to have like over 100 celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big show. It's one of my favorite shows because the fact that, you know, not just being Pensacola, but a lot of good friends and peers. People you could chat, hang out with, especially see the fans. And then I'm looking forward to go to the police and the sheriff's department today because I've been a deputy now for 15 years.
Oh, man. Well, we're going to talk about that because that I think that's absolutely fascinating. But I'm going to ask you to be honest for a moment.
Okay.
And I know you would be anyway. But I having been to other cons in cities like, you know, Phoenix, you know, St. Yes. Louis, big events. It's amazing that we have this kind of an event in a place that does not have the population, but it is, I mean, Julio and all the folks do a first-rate job. You were just talking about how many people are here. It's like going to a huge city, only we're 50,000 person city.
Well, you know, years ago you had what you call a comic book convention. Now this is more of a pop culture. Mm-hmm. It's nothing to do with blood, sex, or violence because people could bring their families. Very exhilarating. It's not like so you get a chance to have the Q&A, photo op, talk to the different celebrities, especially people back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s.
I have to imagine one of the more rewarding things of doing these is just meeting people who look at you and think, they grew up watching me. And I get to meet them, and they get to meet me, and they get to, you know, share the pleasure of just the work that you've done over the years. Am I right? That's fun?
Yeah, it's especially 50 years.
Wow, yeah, that's amazing.
I've done over 5 TV series, 40 films. As a matter of fact, I got a huge miniseries coming out now called The Offer. It's making it The Godfather, Paramount Plus. I'm excited about that because I played Lenny Montana in the movie. It was Lucy Brasi.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So yeah, I was just reading a little bit about this. You're playing the guy who was the actor who played Luca Brasi, the kind of enforcer guy in the movie. But it's about the making of The Godfather, right?
Yeah, in other words, how the movie got made, for example, like that. They dealt with the mobsters, like, for example. Like we have actors playing Brando, Pacino, De Niro, Jimmy Caan. How the movie got made up to the point that they have the screening of The Godfather, all the internal stuff happening.
Can I just be honest? I love the fact that you call him Jimmy. Jimmy Caan.
James Caan. Jimmy Caan.
I'd be like, sir, are you doing all this work? Is it weird to play an actor as an actor? Is that a weird kind of role to take on?
Well, it's just getting into the character. Because my character on this show is a former hitman. He was a killer, but apparently. But in the movie, though, you can see Francis Ford Coppola use him because of the fact that he's practicing his dialogue for Marlon Brando. But The Godfather is one of the greatest movies ever made, and that's why this year is the 50th anniversary. So we're expecting over a billion people to watch it.
Wow, it's perfect. And that's going to be what, on Paramount? Is that right?
Yeah, Paramount Plus, yeah.
And it's not out yet, though, right? You're in post-production?
April 28th.
April, okay, so real soon, 2 months. Okay, very good. So I kind of... Not jokingly, in the beginning I said, you know, for all of us who grew up, you know, pretending to have, you know, the denim jeans that were ripped or, you know, pretending to be the Hulk, because we all who watched that show did that kind of stuff, including Reese.
Absolutely.
When you were growing up, who did you watch on TV and pretend to be?
I love the original Superman.
Oh, okay. Because, you know, George Reeves?
Yes.
Okay.
When you were a kid, you know, I believe Superman was real because children are obsessed with power. Mm-hmm. So I had to come home from school to put the TV on. You know, because I grew up, I had a lot of obstacles in my life. I overcoming diversity. But I remember watching Superman. I just wanted to be just like him. The one time I put a red blanket around my neck, I pretended to jump out the window.
out of the actual window of your house?
I almost broke my leg. That was the end of Superman.
They said, we're not watching this anymore.
But it was a beautiful show because this was like in the 50s. Yeah.
Wow. That's so cool. So I assume you grew up in an era where you're watching like Flash Gordon, you're watching Lone Ranger, you're watching the Cisco Kid. All of these were things that you watched as a kid.
The Three Stooges.
Is that what got you interested in going into acting? Was that early exposure as a kid? Or?
Well, I used to buy a lot of Hulk comic books.
Okay.
I was a huge, huge fan of the Hulk.
Were you big as a kid?
No, very thin because I loved the Hulk because it was the only comic character that didn't have a costume. The muscles, I just wanted to be powerful because, you know, overcoming the hearing situation, my speech impediment back at the time, I was very insecure. So I discovered bodybuilding.
Uh-huh.
But all these years, I've always loved the Incredible Hulk. So one time when I was in California training for the Mr. Olympia in 1977, I received a phone call. They said, we have audition for the Hulk. I said, you got to be kidding. So I said, I have to win this part. So it's been embedded with me my whole life.
So you were a comic reader. You loved television. The Hulk was kind of a fantasy escape for you as a small kid.
Yeah, escape the pain.
So this is so interesting. I never would have thought of that, and I didn't know that about your history, but I think of all the kids who read comic books, and that's why they read it, because they can envision themselves being powerful, or they can envision themselves a world where there's justice. Maybe they get picked on or bullied or whatever, and that's a world where they can, you know, they can see better things happening, and that gives them hope, and then they grow up if they're like you, and they grow up and do something.
People made fun of me reading comic books, because when I was in school, they said, why are you reading comic books? I would condone for that, but now, if you go to any pop culture, I would say one out of two adults, everybody reads comic books.
Yeah.
And funny, I was just talking to a friend of mine, Kim. You remember the old comic book called Archie Reggie and Veronica, those comic books? But it was great for my fantasy. It escaped the pain I was going through because it's beautiful.
Oh, man, and it gave, like you said, it kind of gave you hope. It's a reading thing. You know, a lot of people look down on comics because they're not, you know, book texts, but a lot of kids get engaged with art, literature, the sort of, you know, the plots in comics have evolved tremendously over the years. But just, I mean, if kids are reading, I've always had the opinion that if kids are reading, kids are reading. That's
well,
a good thing.
I love when I used to read comics. I did get engulfed, especially that when you read the comics when I was a kid, I actually almost had a movie in my head visualizing myself being with the Hulk. It's amazing how it transcends you. It takes you the actual action, the storyline, everything. It's amazing. When you finish reading the comics, I was so disappointed because I just wish I had more of a storyline to read.
Yeah, and back in the day when you had to go to the store, buy the comic, and then wait a month.
Right.
and wait a month. You couldn't binge them like you can watch Netflix or Paramount Plus or anything
did
today.
Did you know I had the original Spider-Man, the original Superman, the original Hulk comic book I traded for Muscle Magazine? If I had that issue, if I had those issues now, I could buy Pensacola.
they are mildly valuable books, that's for sure. We have Lou Ferrigno in studio with us. Of course, he's here for Pensacon. When we come back, he's going to be getting a couple of designations today. I'll put it that way. Today, you are going to be going to the Pensacola Police Department and the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, and you're going to be getting an award, right? A designation.
Yeah, more of it being deputized because I've been a deputy sheriff now for 17 years. My father was a police officer, lieutenant. Huh. So I grew up in law enforcement. I've always wanted to give back. That's why I went through the academy because I didn't want to be honorary. I wanted to be the real deal. So it changed my life because I do a lot of now search and rescue. I do weapons shooting, teach people the new cadets how to shoot because I'm a marksman. But it's fascinating because a lot of the police officers are getting a bad rap. But people don't realize, you put the uniform on, you go out on the street and see what it's like, put your life in risk.
Right, absolutely. We talk about that all the time because that's, you know, my heroes wear badges, personally. You know, they wear badges and uniforms because those are the folks that keep us safe, you know, foreign, domestic, all of that. You said something, I didn't realize your dad had been a police officer, and I'm kind of connecting that with what you were saying about, you know, reading the comic books, seeing a world filled with justice, Superman. Did you feel like that was what led you toward that desire for law enforcement? Is that like justice theme in the world, wanting to see? Because you were picked on as a kid for your hearing impediment and everything else.
Well, when I was born, I had like an 80% hearing loss. I got picked on because also I was ridiculed because I had a severe speech impediment. And then I had to work harder than the average person because, you know, people would make fun of me. They call me deaf mute, deaf Louie. So I never let that really bother me because I've learned to maximize my personal power, be the best I can be. But I always had a dream to be a police officer because I used to love my father when he put the uniform on, especially a duty weapon, and he'd go out on the street. So I respected that. That's why all these different childhood dreams I've had been happening, like, you know, I've done Hercules, the Hulk, being a TV star, being a movie star, everything, because I do a lot of motivational speaking now, telling people to overcome that fear. Because we all have fear, the fear of success. And you have to embrace that fear. That's what I teach, because, you know, we're here for a short time. And I don't believe that when you're 90 or 85, you step back and say, I should have, because it's all about taking action. Follow your dreams.
I love that message of fear of success. It's something people don't talk about very much, but it can be terrifying to imagine the changes that you don't expect that might come to you if you get the thing you want for. And sometimes it's safer to just kind of not get it and think about having it, because that, you know, the actual going out and trying to get it and maybe getting it can be as terrifying as failing to get it, right?
But you have to fail sometimes. When you fail, you learn from your failure. You get up and you get up again. People that they refrain from failure because they feel like they don't have a chance, and they have this voice in their head that you can't, because it depends on the environment when you grew up. But for me, I wanted to change that, because in my situation, I felt like nobody could help me. I'm going to have to do it for myself.
Was there a particular, I know you had hardship as a kid in general, but was there a particular failure that you look back on as being a kind of defining moment that you really learned so much from that propelled you forward? Is there any one that stands out?
Yes, because when I won the Mr. Universe, I remember they interviewed me. It was in Geneva, Switzerland. And I learned later on they could not use my interview because of my speech impediment.
Hmm.
So I felt like I had to change speaking, my voice, everything, because the fact that I built this body, but at the same time I wanted to have, you know, be able to conduct myself an interview to match how I look.
Yeah.
So that was a huge change for me. That was one of the hardest things I've ever done. It changed my pattern of speaking and having communication, because that's why about a year ago I received a cochlear implant.
Okay.
And I've wore two hearing aids my whole life, but it's been a tremendous change for me, because especially the clarity, especially hearing myself speaking, and it affects so many people. There's so many people when they get older, they have a hearing loss. There's millions of people, but they get scared because for them it's like shame. That's why it's all about taking action, because you know, you have to, because especially if you want to maximize what you have. Like for me, I like to maximize everything I could do within my capacity. That's what makes you rich.
Oh, I love it. Lou Ferrigno, you know him from The Hulk and all kinds of other stuff, from The Apprentice to so many different things. And now he's starring in The Offer, that is going to be on Paramount Plus coming up in about 2 months. And of course, you can go meet him at Pensacon or maybe see him at PPD or ECSO a little bit later today. Lou, second time I've had a chance to talk to you on the show. I really appreciate it. Thanks for coming to Pensacola and helping us make this great. And thanks for inspiring people all over the world with the way you do.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.